the studios in Skid Row, this is Conversations at the Peace Table with your host, Soraya Dean. Wanting peace. How many of you are looking for peace? This show is about finding that peace within you. The show is about having those powerful conversations where we're going to come together and explore new possibilities. Dr. King said, peace can't be a distant goal we seek. He said, it's the means by which we should arrive at the goal. So this show is about talking about that means, the means that you have to take personal responsibility for. This is my first show, and certainly I'm not nervous because peace, I'm a junkie for peace. But I want you to call in. I want you to ask questions. I want you to be engaged because I certainly don't want this to be my last show. And I share this not because I feel weak, but because I want to remain strong. Because we are all so interconnected. What happens to one affects us all. So we are in it together, and let us come together in this on Mondays, because Monday is a powerful day for us. It's the day we begin the week. So we want to come together to explore how we can show up and how we can thrive, not just survive. And nothing is off limits here to be discussed. The only thing would be unwholesome thoughts. Even that, let's explore how we can get over them. What is unwholesome thoughts is something that we might always want to ask. Anything that comes out of a state of ignorance, that comes out of a state of greed, and anything that comes out of a state of aversion is unwholesome. So at the peace table, we leave those things behind when we come together to explore how we can just not really only survive, as I said, but thrive. I have an exciting show for you today. I have a world-renowned motivational speaker, Les Brown, who will be on the air with us in about half an hour from now. I want you to stay tuned, have your questions for him, because like you and me, his story is profound, and he goes around the world teaching people how to tell their story. And today, as I talk to you, I want you to remind yourself, go deep within and bring out your story, because your story is unique. Your story can change lives. Your story needs to be heard. So at the table, we will explore your story, my story, their story, and how is it that we can all come together to celebrate that which is one, beyond this subatomic particles that we're talking about. There is a unified field that we can all come together and understand the non-duality in us. We are all one. So I just want you to be tuned in and turned on and listen in. And there are some rules, of course, at the Conversations at the Peace Table. And it is one, the P stands for presence. We will all be present. Present with the intention to learn, with the intention to connect, and with the intention to begin things with the end in mind. Because when we do that, it's very seldom that we can go wrong. It's very seldom that we can disconnect with one another. So presence is key to be able to thrive at the conversations that we are hoping to have at the peace table. I'm just going to briefly explain to you what peace stands here. E is empathy. Empathy is critical. Most of the time, people are really busy fixing things or finding fault or trying to understand what is wrong. But here at the table, we want to cultivate this habit of being a person of empathy. Empathy is not just being sorry for somebody, but it goes beyond that. It's our ability to listen to someone with heart. And I say is our ability to make requests. Oftentimes we have contentious conversations and we just leave an open-ended dialogue or a discussion, or of course sometimes a misunderstanding. Let's learn to ask questions and make requests, because it's very easy for the other person to then meet your needs, to really support you in your journey. So ask, make request. And the letter C here we will explore further as we get together on a weekly basis is our ability to capture what's happening without judgment, blame, shame, and evaluation. I think it was Dr. Marshall Rosenberg who said, at the heart of every judgment is an unmet need. So when we are able to really articulate what we want by observing without making judgments, we come at a whole new place of connection. And this is a huge missing link in our conversations, not only in our personal conversations. Look at what's happening around us in our country, in the world. Because we are very busy making judgments and evaluations, and we are unable to make observations, in a sense, capture what's happening versus give an interpretation of what's happening. And then the E, again, the second E is expressing our needs and feelings. Take a moment to reflect. When was the last time someone asked you what you needed and how you felt? Those chances are getting very rare and almost non-existent. So when we have our conversations at the peace table, I want you to be able to remember these nuggets, and to remember this formula, and then engage in any conversation powerfully. Be present, have empathy, be willing to ask what you want, make observations, capture the situation, not judgments, make observations, capture, C is for capture. And then C is very freely be able to express your needs and feelings. It's very critical that we follow this kind of conversation. And I say, even when I train and talk to clients and big audiences, really what the world needs today is to unlearn. Not so much to learn, because we know what we are going to say. But do we take the time to reflect on what needs to be said? That is where the lasting peacemaking begins. Because nonviolence is not just not using a gun or not being physically violent, but nonviolence is our ability to choose words that are not violent. Choose words that can connect us. So at the peace table, we will grow into understanding this new way of communication. And I want to open and air this show on Mondays and to give you some powerful tools for the week where you can communicate in a very positive, powerful, engaging way with your colleagues at work, whether it's at your home, whether it's in the community. Be able to remember these things that we are going to learn and relearn. Somebody once said, the illiterate people of the 21st century are not the people who cannot read or write, but it will be the people who refuse to learn and relearn and unlearn. And that's exactly what we are here to do today at the Conversations at the Peace Table. We are going to learn how to relearn, how to recommit. We are going to learn how to learn a new skill. And we are also going to unlearn, because there's so much that needs to be left behind. And I would like for you to call in and ask questions, share with us any issues that are very alive and not making life wonderful for you. And we'll see how we can look at things in a different perspective. Because finally, everything we think is not the truth. We can change the way we think. We can reframe the way we want to connect with someone. And we can building this connection through a new way of communicating. And that again is what we are hoping to learn at the Peace Table. So remember the acronym PEACE. Peace is not just the absence of violence, but it's a manifestation of justice and kindness. The question I think that should be paramount in every one of us, in our minds, is how can I be kind to somebody? How can I make life better? How can I be compassionate? These are universal values. And I even sometimes say, compassion is my religion. As long as we are committed to the practice, because the world is full of nice dead people. As long as we are present, as long as we see and observe the impact our words and our actions are creating in the lives of people, I think we have every chance that we can change, we can turn around, we can, as I said earlier, we can commit to learning, we can commit to relearning, and we can also commit to unlearning. And in this journey, an important message that we need to remember is that this journey has to begin with you. There must be times that, I mean, we're all guilty of this. We want the other person to change. And the good news and the bad news is that that ain't gonna happen. It's you. Take personal responsibility. Look at yourself in the mirror. Who are you? And observe yourself. There comes a time when it's necessary on a daily basis that we have to step out of ourselves and look at ourselves in the mirror, look at our image, and take stock of who we are. And really, to do this, I might even say, start writing out some things, start journaling, because a new path requires a new you. So it's really important that we take personal responsibility for this world that we want to create. Because there's too much hate and there's too much violence and there was too much misunderstanding. And I'm not saying that we will all be equipped to do everything possible to make change everywhere. Mother Teresa said, if you can't feed 100, just feed one. So what I'm asking you to do is today reach out to that person who right now is seated next to you. Reach out to that person who right now needs to hear from you. Make that call. Reach out to that person who right now needs to read something that you have written. Reach out. Because you are the one who can initiate that change. They might not know what you know. They might not commit to learn what you have committed to learn. They might think that they don't need to know. So at the conversations, when we converse at the peace table, we bring a whole new energy. We bring a whole new us. And we take a hard, a long, and a strong look at ourselves. How can I do better? My mentor Les Brown says, in life we fail not because we aim too high and miss, but because we aim too low and hit. Ask yourself, are you aiming too low in your relationships? Are you aiming too low in your career? Are you aiming too low in how you can make a difference in the world? I think every one of us, Einstein was given 24 hours. Darwin had 24 hours. Tesla had 24 hours. Elon Musk has 24 hours. We all have 24 hours in the day. How we learn to use that time to really make a difference begins with us first taking a look at ourselves. And I can't stress enough to remind you that it can be a very lonely place. When we begin to change and transform, when we begin to stretch, it's a beautiful place to be, but it can also be a very lonely one. But then there are tools, and that's exactly what I'm going to talk to with Les Brown, who has motivated millions of people. And I want you to stay tuned in, listen to his story. He was born in an abandoned building in Liberty City, Florida. He was labeled mentally retarded. But his journey is profound. And what we need to remember is if he can do it, I can do it. If they can do it, we can do it. So there's hope. There is possibility. It's just that you and I, we need to go towards it. We need to take that step. We need to walk. Sometimes even walking is not enough. Strolling is not enough. You need to sprint because time is valuable. And the world is waiting for your gifts, for your talents. So at the table, what we are going to do is we're going to really go deep and find out who we are. We're going to find out how we can do things different. And we're going to do little things. Maybe some of us do big things. Maybe some of us not do anything, but we bring that positive vibe to be a supportive person to the other person. There are so many things that we can do. And I invite you to consider, to take that journey. And I'm not telling you to really run with it right now, but make that, turn a leaf today. If you think it's necessary that you need to make a change, make that change. At the show, it's also our hope to talk with you about creating collaborative workplaces. I think at the heart of everything we do is the way we communicate and our ability to really speak without blame and shame, judgment and evaluation is critical to create that collaborative place for us to work and thrive. Because again, as I said earlier, what happens to one affects us all. So let's say there is somebody out there who has really wronged you, who has really not been kind to you. But you get a choice. You get a choice. Do you want to go down there and vibrate at the vibration that they are with anger and hate and misunderstanding? Or do you want to really stay in a space where you are able to think different, look different, and bring a fresh breath of energy to that conversation? And it's possible. And take a look at you, look at yourself in the mirror. And that's what I say.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. And as I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street. Not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them bleed? A sonorous disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man show. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why I want you to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror.
Okay, thank you everybody for staying in, for being tuned in and tapped in and turned on. We are here talking something really special. We're talking about peace. We're talking about conversations at the peace table. We're talking about transforming ourselves, growing and just being different. Because everybody else is taken. Be you. You have gifts, talents and abilities that you may have not explode. Be you. So before I have my guest on the show today, I want to share with you a little workshop I'm doing. It's called Love Speaks, A Conversation Changes Everything, Turning Potential Conflict into Peaceful Dialogue. So it's going to be on the 29th Sunday at El Segundo. There's a number and there's an email. You can email me and I can send you information. It's all about turning potential conflict into a peaceful dialogue. And I would love to see you. It's going to be free. It's 2 hours on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, June 29th, El Segundo. For address and information, you can please email us. The number is on the screen. As we wait for the speaker today, I want you to listen to something he has to say, something he has always had been saying, a mentor, a guru, a coach, a phenomenal speaker who has inspired thousands all across the world. And I want to bring him to you today. It's such a joy for me to share him and his expertise in this community in Skid Row. Because if there's some place that needs hope, I think it is here. And I think Les is online. Hi, Les.
Hello, how are you?
I am great and grateful, as you have always taught me to tell. How are you doing?
I'm great and grateful, and I have references.
Oh, Les, we just have half an hour, and I'm just trying to get in so much of you. I want everybody who's listening in to have a part of you. We know that you are a phenomenal speaker. You have inspired millions of people around the world. And I am calling you from the city of Skid Row, where we have from 3,000 to 6,000 people who are homeless. The sidewalks are lined with cardboard boxes, tents, and shopping carts. There are repeated crackdowns on the homeless. And there is a population that is 54% of the population is 18 to 34 years old. What is the hope? What is the advice that you can give to them for them to grow their body, their mind, and the spirit and live a better life?
Well, one of the things that's most important is that we have to give them hope, because when there's hope in the future, that gives you power in the present. I was born in an abandoned building on a floor with a twin brother. And we were adopted, and I was labeled educable mentally retarded. And what I learned from that experience in poverty and drug-infested area, that you have to have also help and assistance. These people can't do it by themselves. They're going to have some help. And they need to do three things that's very important. Number one, I will give to you some of our motivational materials, because they need to have mental resiliency in order to come out of that kind of situation. Your mental strength is very important, so having power for your mind is crucial. The other thing that's major for them is the willingness to ask for help, not because you are weak, but because you want to remain strong. And ask for help, but don't stop until you get it. And because I'm who I am because someone helped me. People poured in. People saw the need and helped my mother, who only had a third grade education. And she had this passion to have kids. She never had children herself. And she adopted us. And so she adopted 7 children. And so the support that you can get in this kind of environment is very important. And the third thing that's major is creating collaborative, achievement-driven, supportive relationships. When we look at the situation involving people that are homeless, people who are disconnected from resources, what we must know is that we have more than enough resources to help eliminate poverty and homelessness. And the only reason that it exists is because we have not made the commitment to eliminate it. There is more than enough for everyone. And so just what you're doing now, exposing it to people, raising the level of awareness so that people can pitch in, that can begin to be a source of hope. It could be light at the end of the tunnel, and that people can come up with ideas and strategies that can help convert this situation, because we throw away food every day from restaurants and various places in this country. And so we have enough. It's the willingness, the commitment. Poverty exists because of the fact that we have not said to ourselves that we're going to eliminate this. When John F. Kennedy, former president, in 1961 was confronted with the challenge of how can we beat the Russians to the moon, he looked to a Russian, a German scientist named Wernher von Braun. He said, what can we do to get to the moon first? And Wernher von Braun said, and they were prepared to be there for months if necessary, Wernher von Braun said, the will to do it. That's all he said.
The will to
do it. Those words. The will to do it.
Fantastic.
And people were all positioned to have a long lecture and to be there for weeks or months if necessary. And he dropped his pen. He said, the will to do it. And that's what we have to do. We have to have the will to do it, the will to eliminate this situation that these people are in, the will to see it through. Poverty exists in communities, and people must be willing to make the commitment to do whatever is necessary to eliminate it, regardless of how frustrating and challenging it might be. But we are bigger than any challenge that we're facing.
Right. And I agree with you. But here's the reality, though. There are bills to be paid, mortgages to be paid, children have to be fed. You talk very deeply about the inner conversation. I think, look at the world today. We are changing structures and systems, but we are not changing beliefs. How can we change our inner conversation so that we can really work for change from within? Don't you think that's important?
There's no question that's important. And the state, the federal government, county government, city government, they spend zero money on mindset transformation. It is the most important thing that you can possibly do. And that's something that we have to move in that direction. And with all of the bills and things that we do have, all of these things, when we decide that we have to begin to leverage our knowledge, our abilities, and skills, because knowledge is the new currency, and we look for ways in which we can generate new income. We're living in a time that is unlike any other time. 2007, Time magazine said the computer was the person of the year. And that was puzzling to everybody. But what happened was that they demonstrated that for the first time in the history of the world, everyday people have access to information. I remember, you know, in this country, it was a capital offense for African Americans to get an education. And they would be executed, hung. And so, but now anybody, everybody has access to a computer, because now you can get access not only to information, but you can run a global business from your telephone. So it's about how do we begin to put our minds together to create products and services that we can monetize those to generate income that will help people to pay their bills, that will help people to extract themselves from poverty, that will help people to create and generate their own personal economy. That's possible now, where before it was not possible. I've just come from countries where I've traveled where they don't have the kinds of tools that we have here. And so we can do it. When you begin to believe that it's possible, and you put together some caring minds that are willing to collaborate, to work, to make it become a reality, there are unlimited possibilities of what can come out of that.
Right. Unless I know you are growing speakers. I will get to that shortly. But I want to also remind our audience. Now, you didn't have a formal education. And then I know that you always tell this, that you listened to tapes, you read books, and you did that sort of thing. And as you said, I just want to remind our audience, today we can effect change from our garage, from a bedroom, from a park, just as long as we have a cell phone or a computer. So tell me, what would you say to a young lad or a girl who is struggling today? How can they believe in themselves, believe in the capacity that they can effect change?
Well, first of all, I would tell them to go to the library if they don't have a computer and go to lesbrownmotivation.com, lesbrownmotivation.com. I put those videos there so people can watch those free. And what we'll do by them watching it over and over and over again, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, it will transform their mindset, because there's no speaker that has gone through what I've gone through. And I've generated millions of dollars from the ideas, from the concepts, from the steps and the approaches of listening to motivational recordings over and over again, reading books, going to seminars and workshops, and synthesizing and working with those ideas and concepts and putting them to work. And they begin to work. They begin to pay off. So no situation that we are confronted with is impossible. We have the ability to overcome anything that's facing us. We have the ability to use our time and our energy not to worry, but to work. There's a difference. You get a lot of results out of working, seeing the possibility that we can begin to move forward, and being relentless, unstoppable, and persistent until we get to where we want to go. And regardless of how bad the situation was, I remember when I was 10 years old, my mother, who was fired from the M&M cafeteria, she eventually began to look for other ways to generate income for us. And here she was, third grade education. She had 7 children that she'd adopted. So out of desperation, a neighbor suggested to her that she should sell homebrew and moonshine, which was illegal. And she was arrested, and she went to jail. And so there I was at 10 years old. I have a twin brother. I became the man at 10 years old because we had no relatives. I remember going around, going in garbage cans, looking for copper, looking for aluminum, to take to Pepper's Junkyard to sell and put it in a Crocosette bag to sell so that I would have money to buy groceries to take care of my 6 brothers and sisters until Mama was eventually released. And during that time, it transformed my life. And so it was a tough time, but we got through it. You know, Robert Shuler wrote a book, Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do. And so Mama did the best that she knew how. But when I think about, when I look back on those times, everything that I've experienced, everything that I've gone through, all of those things have contributed to who I am now as a person, being labeled educable mentally retarded. I'm failing in the 5th grade and put back to the 4th grade and failing in the 8th grade and not having any college education. It created a hunger and a thirst for me to become successful, to be able to take care of her. And I was able to take care of her and buy her 4 different homes before she passed and took care of her when she became older. And so all of those experiences, it developed me as a person. And everything that we're going through, we have to see it, from my perspective, as something that does not define us. There are moments in life that either the moments define you or you define the moments. You know, when you think about a horseman can't learn good horsemanship by riding a tame horse, that you have to have some struggles in life. You're going to have them. There's no getting around it. I'm a 20-year cancer conqueror, as you are aware. And there are people whose condition was far less than mine, that they're gone. But they didn't fight. You know, there's a quote that I live by, that life is a fight for territory. And once you stop fighting for what you want, what you don't want will automatically take over. So even at this stage of my life at 70, there are goals that I'm working on, things that I dream about. My best years are in front of me, and I've still got a lot of juice. I still fight. I still got things that I want to do and I'm going to do.
Yes, we know that, Liz. I mean, you have taught me so many things that I just live by on a daily basis. Something that I remember so profoundly is you telling us again and again, you know, have an agenda for your life. If you don't have an agenda, you're going to be on somebody else's agenda. I love that. And here, I just want to take a moment and give a taste to our listeners of your speaking, of your powerful words. So I want everybody to stand by and let's listen in for about 5 minutes. I mean, everybody will want more, but we have limited time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is with great honor that we present to you Les Brown.
What I'd like for you to do right now, I want you to think about your dream, because I'm in a room full of dreamers. Think about your dream right now. I want you to think about it and envision it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me share something with you. I do not believe that any of us have dreams that were not given to us for the purpose of accomplishing those particular dreams. And I want to share something with you that has changed my life. I started out, as was indicated by Jack, it's very humble beginnings. I don't know what that dream is that you have. I don't care how far-fetched it might appear to be. I don't care how disappointing it might have been as you've been working toward that dream. But here's what I know, that dream that you're holding in your mind, that it's possible. Let's say that together, please. It's possible. See, sometimes we can't say, I can do that. But what we can say, that it's possible that I can have my dream. As we run toward it, as we work on it day in and day out, no one, ladies and gentlemen, could have convinced me when I started out just over 6 years ago working on my dream. And I want you to think about whatever your dream is, because I was willing to take a chance. And most people won't do that. Most of the people that you talk to try and bring them into the business, these are not risk takers. Most people have done all that they're ever going to do. They raise a family, they earn a living, and then they die. But people who are running toward their dreams, life has a special kind of meaning. And here's what I will share with you, that in the process of working on your dreams, you are going to incur a lot of disappointment, a lot of failure, a lot of pain, a lot of setbacks, a lot of defeats. But in the process of doing that, you will discover some things about yourself that you don't know right now. What you will realize is that you have greatness within you. What you'll realize is that you're more powerful than you can ever begin to imagine. What you will realize is that you are greater than your circumstances, that you don't have to go through life being a victim. As Jack indicated, I was born in Miami, Florida, in an area called Liberty City, in an abandoned building on a hard linoleum floor with my twin brother. We were 6 weeks of age, we were adopted. When I was in fifth grade, I was identified as EMR, labeled educable, mentally retarded, put back from the fifth grade into the fourth grade, and stayed in that category until I got out of high school. I don't have any college training, but I met a high school teacher who one day changed my life. I was waiting on another student, and when he came in, he said to me, young man, go to the board and write what I'm about to tell you. And I said, I can't do that, sir. He said, why not? I said, I'm not one of your students. He said, it doesn't matter. Follow my directions now. I said, I can't do that, sir. He said, why not? I said, because I'm educable, mentally retarded. And he came from behind his desk and he looked at me. He said, "Don't ever say that again. Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality." And that man, Mr. Leroy Washington, did something for me. He started planting seeds in my mind that enabled me to begin to dream as Dexter has been doing for you. And ladies and gentlemen, I started working on my dream. And most people don't work on their dreams. Why? For many years, I didn't. One is because of fear, the fear of failure. What if things don't work out? And the fear of success. What if they do and I can't handle it? The other thing is that most people, ladies and gentlemen, they get comfortable. They stop growing. They stop working on themselves. They stop stretching. They stop pushing themselves. And they end up becoming very cynical about life, and they throw in the towel on themselves, on their families, and on their dreams. And the other thing is that most people don't feel worthy. What I'm doing now, I could have been doing years ago. But because I did not have a college education, because I didn't believe in myself, because I allowed other people's opinion of me to control my destiny, I didn't act on my ideas. So I applaud you for your dreaming, for your running towards your dream. I applaud you for believing in yourself, because that's what life is about, stretching and challenging, looking for ways that you can begin to improve yourself. And ladies and gentlemen, as a result of stretching out, of acting on my dream, and I don't know what that dream is for you, I can tell you that it's possible. No one could have convinced me that after just over 6 years, I will have my own book entitled Live Your Dreams. Just over 6 years, I will have 5 specials on public television. Just over 6 years, I've done motivational speaking for AT&T, Procter & Gamble, McDonald's Corporation, Xerox, IBM. Just over 6 years, I will now have my own talk show that will premiere on Monday, Labor Day. I'm saying to you, your dream is possible.
Les?
Your dream is...
Les, I think, I'm getting goosebumps listening to you. Your message has been consistent that life, it's possible. It's possible. Tell us, what are you trying to tell us in your book, It's Not Over Until You Win?
The one thing that's important for us to win is the conversation in our heads. Because between the ages of 0 and 5, children determine what's available to them and what's not available to them based upon their environment, their parents, their education, the conversations that they're exposed to. They have, and a study was done by Dr. Martin Seligman, it's called Learned Optimism. They have a word in their heart that says yes, or says no. If that word is no, then you got to work hard to convert that word, and you can tell based upon the results that you produce in your life. And so that's why my favorite book says, "Be ye not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so we have to work on ourselves, because you don't get in life what you want. You get in life what you are. We all have the ability to make a difference, to create wealth. We all have the ability to go to that next level. And the key is to live your life from the inside out, to work on yourself, to monitor your thinking. 87% of our negative thinking goes undetected by the common mind. And so as we look at ourselves, it's very important that we have a regimen to restructure and to train our thinking. That's what I had to deal with when I was dealing with the challenge of cancer. I had to deal with the common belief that cancer is a death sentence. It's the most feared word in 7 different languages. And so every day when I go for walks or if I'm by myself, I'm saying to myself, that my body is producing powerful white blood cells that kill quickly and permanently every renegade cancer cell in my body. I give thanks that I'm healed. I have perfect health. I am strong. I'm winning. And so I have a conversation that I talk to my body. I eat differently. I exercise. So my mindset, the regimens and the choices that I make, the positive relationships that I have, it has helped me to overcome, to conquer cancer, to conquer poverty, staying away from negative, toxic relationships. There's a new term in psychiatry called relationship illness. There's some relationships that can make you sick. Many people will never achieve their goals because they have too many toxic, negative, energy-draining relationships in their lives that's compromising their strength. So they've got to look at their relationships and ask, what is this relationship doing to me? You earn within $2,000 to $3,000 of your closest friends. And so upgrading your relationships, working on yourself on an ongoing basis, having goals that's beyond your comfort zone. Why? Because in order to do something you've never done, you've got to become someone you've never been. You will fail your way to success. So all of these things, as we implement them on a regular basis, we will have major breakthroughs. Mm. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yes, and I remember something you always say is catch yourself and affirm to yourself. Remind yourself that there's greatness within you. For those of you who are tuning in just now, our guest today is Les Brown, who is an internationally recognized speaker and CEO of Les Brown Enterprises. He's the author of two highly acclaimed books, Live Your Dreams, and It's Not Over Until You Win. Les Brown is one of the nation's leading authorities in understanding and stimulating human potential. So, Les, you have changed lives. You're changing lives even as I speak with you. You speak about the power of story, and you train speakers. Tell us about that. How do we get information, and how can we be one of your speakers?
Well, Soraya, you're a very modest person. You are a person that I have learned from. I love your humility, but I love your passion to make a difference in people's lives, to bring people together, to be a bridge, to teach people how to collaborate, how to communicate without violence, to be able to cross lines of religion and culture and build powerful relationships. So I admire who you are as a person, and our relationship has been a two-way relationship that I've been able to learn and to grow from mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And for people that are interested in learning how to take their communication skills to the next level, they can email me at lesbrown77@gmail.com. And we will send them some videos, or go to lesbrownmotivation.com. And if they go to lesbrown.com, they will see a training seminar that I have in September that people can come to and learn techniques and strategies that can advance them in their career, if they're entrepreneurs, how to tell the story of their business, how to influence and bring out the best in people and motivate people, how to become a global voice. I've just finished speaking in Switzerland and Germany. I had the opportunity of speaking to 25,000 people in Poland and Johannesburg, South Africa, London, England. And now at this stage of my life, it's about training others on how to do it, because there's no success without successors. And so I'm excited for those who want to learn how to begin to tell their story, because your ability to communicate is so powerful. Mr. Washington, who passed, I eulogized him just a few months ago. He said, Mr. Brown, develop your communication skills, because once you open your mouth, young man, you tell the world who you are. And there is no question about that. It will dramatically change your life. Yeah. So if they go to lesbrown.com, they'll see the seminar that I have, or if they go to lesbrownmotivation.com, they'll see some videos free. They'll leave their information, and we'll send them more information on how they can go to the next level.
Right. Thank you, Les. So before we really part our ways, but of course stay close in our hearts, I just want to ask you about Charleston. How is your community handling it?
It's very tough. It's an experience that I have to lean on a Jewish saying that says, find the beauty in the cracks. And I've got to believe that out of this tragic incident that took place, that there's something good that's going to come out of it, that some level of awareness, there are people who are going to be moved by this and decide to be an instrument of change. I believe that the work that you and I are doing, what if we had been in that young man's ear? Evil prevails when good men and women do nothing. He had someone who indoctrinated him with a philosophy of hatred. But what if the work that we're doing, we have to move with volume and velocity. I ask myself, what if I'd gotten a chance to have him hear my voice? That maybe this would not have happened. Always look back at me. That evil prevails when people who have the ability to do more are not stepping up to the plate. And that, to me, it's about working harder, finding other people that I can train, and exploring the possibilities of amplifying our voices. So the voices of love and cooperation and communication like you are organizing will be the prevailing voices that people will hear. Someone talked to him and indoctrinated him. People are not born with hatred. They are indoctrinated. They are taught to hate. There's a moment he said that he almost left the church and changed his mind because the people were so nice to him. Just think about that. And so that's where I am. I'm looking at how can I reach more people, train more people, develop more minds so that the voices of love will overpower the voices of hate.
Thank you so much. Yes, I can't agree with you more because we, I think, as you say, quite so honestly and so powerfully, that every one of us, we have the gifts, the talents, and the abilities to change the world. And yes. Our story, tell us briefly the power of the story. What can story do today?
Stories distract, dispute, and inspire. When we share a story, let's say a story of love, it will distract the story of hate. How people live their lives is a result of the story they believe about themselves. Mm. That young man who committed those murders, he was convinced and taught a story of being an executioner. And so if the right voice had gotten to him, it would have distracted, disputed, and inspired. The story of love would have distracted him from the story of hate. Through the delivery and execution of that story, it will dismantle the belief of wanting to kill people that's different than him only because of their skin and the color of their skin. And then it will inspire him to have made some different choices. I remember a skinhead, a guy who was a member of the Ku Klux Klan, was being interviewed by Larry King, and Larry King said, why do you hate black people? And he said, because they're black. And he said, and? He said, I'm white. And then, this is key, he said, what did you have to do with your being white? And he said, what? He said, what did you have to do with your being born white? And he had no answer. And so prejudice and hatred and racism comes out of ignorance and low consciousness. Mm. And I believe that when we work together, just as you're doing, to foster communication and collaboration, to elevate awareness and consciousness, that we can create a new world. We really can. I do believe that with all my heart.
Thank you, Les. I am so grateful and thankful that we had this opportunity to listen to you. You have again and again transformed minds, and you uplift me in such a unique and special way. And we hope that one day, very soon, you'll be down here in Skid Row and we will connect and really teach people who really are hungry for hope.
I would love to come there and do a workshop with me and some of my speakers. let's make that happen.
Let's make that happen.
Yes.
Thank you, Les.
Help everybody, but let's help the ones that we can that can hear our voice.
Yes. Thank you, and have a blessed day. And I will be in touch.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Bye bye.
All right. Bye now.
So, folks, those of you who have been listening in and who will listen in later today or tomorrow, please contact the show, the studio, and for more information. And Les Brown, world-famous, phenomenal speaker who has touched and transformed and changed thousands of lives. I'm looking for volunteers. We can come together and have a workshop, a seminar of a conference on hope from this city in Skid Row. And Tag, it's you. You got to do that. You got to make it happen. Give us your information so that we can stay in touch. And I hope to be with you next Monday, hopefully, if not Monday after, where we will come together to explore special moments of our greatness, moments of hope, moments of love, moments of compassion, where we can just be a river flowing to change the people, to change our lives, and to bring about, to make a difference in this beautiful country and in this world. Have a great week ahead. Remember, peace, be present, have empathy, ask, make request, don't judge, and then express your needs and feelings. Peace to you. This is Soraya with Conversations at the Peace Table.